Are there any parish notices to come forward this morning?
If I may, just one quick one here, Dave, and I apologize, Dave, to you, to the church. Most of all, I apologize to Dick Miller. At the last board meeting, Dick is an excellent mission chairperson, and he alerted us to the first Sunday of June. As usual, of course, we have the pickle jar at the close of the service. Normally, that's designated to the miracle offering that'll be taken at the annual conference there at Lakeside. So Dick was great about letting us know, wasn't he, Laura? So Dick, I apologize to you. And I apologize to the church because I would really, Dave, be remiss if I didn't lift up a witness. I talked to somebody, we might have a surprise in a couple weeks about a little journey in the global village. But this miracle offering is called Imagine No Malaria. It used to come under a nomenclature of nothing but nets. It's the same purpose though. These mosquito nets, of course, are going to, you know, protect children, men, women, and children in third world countries from the mosquitoes. And the powerful witness that I can't believe I forgot to jot this down. The powerful witness comes from the Islamic community. And you talk about some real needs and tension in the global village, you know. When we talk about the Islamic radicals, we in the nation now know just how bad that can manifest itself. Well, this nothing but nets, now called Imagine No Malaria, this has been so effective. This offering of the United Methodist Church has been so effective with these mosquito nets at preventing malaria that Islamic leaders in a global meeting, and I'm not talking a church meeting, I'm talking a secular. So, not unlike the United Nations. In a global meeting, the Islamic leaders have requested that a United Methodist Church please be placed in each of their regions. That's the request of the Islamic leaders because of the good that these nets have provided through the Church of Jesus Christ. Is that a powerful witness? I think that's something to cheer about. So, bear that in mind during the closing hymn. That's, Dick, that's what that offering will go for. Thank you, Dave.
Do we have a pickle jar?
Thank you, Dave. Any other parish notices? Let us then prepare our hearts for morning worship. Thank you. Let us bow our heads for our opening prayer. God of heaven and earth, we call upon your name as we gather for worship and praise. Hear our prayers and heed our cries as we yearn to grow closer to you. Shower us with your grace and light the fire of wisdom in our minds. Bless us with your presence that we may walk in your truth and live in your righteousness all the days of our lives. Amen. Sing a new song of gratitude and praise. Our God is the Lord, and great is God's love. Let the heavens be glad, let the mountains rejoice. Let us join together with the opening hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, hymn number 89.
Thank you.
Let us greet each other in the passing of the peace.
At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Good morning, children. Well, I got an object lesson for us. I've got to tell you, I've shared with Warren Reed before. I love this time of the service, and I'm sorry, folks, but it's probably one of my favorite parts of the service because it allows me to be Greg, and I've got all these resources that I turn to. This is an original with me, so if you like it, I got to give credit where credit's due. I like this because I get to do something with you here. I'm going to do this little experiment. You ready? Here we go. Paul Miller told me this week I was full of hot air. That's what he told me. Now I have this right here. Now, okay, this balloon is blown up. You ready? Now, what do you think is going to happen when I let go? You want to see first of all? Here, let me get the mic ready. You ready? Heads up. Here we go. Looks like Paul was right, wasn't he? Oh, well, what now? What in the world happened? What happened when I let go of that? Anybody want to say? What happened?
The air came out.
The air came out, but it flew for a little bit. It was pretty impressive. Oh, my. Yeah, it soared for a moment. Then it bit the dust, didn't it, as we say. It hit the ground. Now, let me ask you something. What if I were to take this same balloon, let me see if Steve's back. Steve, you could thank Laura for this, what I'm about to tell you. You could thank Laura. She's giggling already. What if I were to take this balloon, fill it up with helium, tie a string around it, what would happen? What would happen, Allison?
It would float.
This is why you can thank Laura. For Mother's Day, Steve, Shelley, I'm not kidding you. This is the way this brain works. Mothers, I had picked out a balloon for each of you with an LED inside so it glowed for so many hours. I think it was 12 hours it would glow. And I had the helium, and I had it all planned, Steve. I was going to, for Mother's Day, give them all a balloon to take home with them. Laura says, honey, do you know what's going to happen? And you know what will happen, Steve. One of those balloons is going to get loose, and what's it going to do? It's going to rise, and it's going to stay up there for not days, would it, buddy? It would stay up there for weeks. So, Steve, you can thank Laura that I did not bring the helium. I have it. I have it at home. But, yeah, it would stay up there, as Allison said. It would rise. It wouldn't go to the ground. It would rise. And by the way, mothers, maybe next year. No, I'm kidding, Steve. I'm kidding you. I still ought to get you balloons, though. But at any rate, it would rise and it would stay up there, not only for days, Allison, but it would stay up there truly for weeks. Now, the point of the illustration is, We can puff ourselves up. And Jesus talked about this. There were some folks that he met in his earthly ministry that he said they puff up, you know, with their self-righteousness. We can puff ourselves up so that we appear to be mighty and powerful. But as Paul was teasing me this past week about a lot of us preachers, he says, you know, Greg, you're full of hot air, you know. And that's what happens. He was just teasing me, but in all seriousness, if we try to puff ourselves up and pretend that we are in and of ourselves powerful, you know, and righteous, we would be truly then full of hot air. Where we get our strength is trusting in Jesus, looking to Jesus. Now, Jesus will never fail you. Jesus will lift you up and will hold you up, not just for days, not just for weeks. His love, he is able. Jesus is able to hold you up forever. And to do that, he paid a price. We have here the communion elements. We're going to have just a little bit here, children. And you are invited to come forward with your parents. You want to come up with your parents, your grandparents. You come on up. Because we're going to receive the portion of the bread representing the body of Jesus. And then a portion of the wine, it's called in the Bible. In our case, it's the unfermented grape juice. But it's the same vine. And that represents the blood of Jesus. And we look at this cross. That's how much God loves you. Jesus went and demonstrated that love on the cross of Calvary. His love, therefore, is never going to let you down. Never. Oh, you're going to have struggles in life. But the Lord will never stop loving you. Never. Count on it. And like an old song, and Jeannie Leary and Jeff Leary got me that song years ago. You raise me up. There's a portion in the song. It says, you raise me up to more than I can be. See, that's not something we do in and of ourselves. This is looking to God as a partner. He made you. He made every one of you. So give him his rightful place in your heart and let him raise you up to more than you can ever imagine. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's make a circle here. Yeah, here, do you want in the circle? Come here, buddy. Let's get in this. Yeah, here we go. Now we're in the circle. All right. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love that's never going to let us go. You raise us up to more than we can be. You raise us up to be better and better, Lord, because that's your purpose for us, that we will become more and more like Jesus. So may your Spirit fill us and lift us, carry us throughout life, and give us the strength to share the love of Jesus with other boys and girls here and around the world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've got treats for you. And no, mothers, I promise you, I will not hand out those balloons. These are choking wrists here. We have the suckers here. I just moved them. Where'd old Greg move them? Here we go. All right. Now, once again, you take your time. You pick out the two that you want, okay? You just take your time, pick out two that you want, and you keep one of them, remember. And have you had fun sharing them with others? It's fun, isn't it, boys? Yes, it's, yeah, that's, well, let me see what, oh, that's it. Oh, yeah, that's a good one right there. That's a good one. All right, now you pick out the two you like. All righty. Here we go. Yes, and you, yes, certainly, and you can return to your pews. Yes, you can. You can return to your, Allison, you want to help me today with the mic? All right, I'll get Allison to help. Did everybody get two? Let's make sure you get two. All righty. Hey, go, girls. Okay, Chloe and Cole, how you doing, buddy? This will give you strength. You know what? Hey, go, buddy. There you go. Alrighty, and you may return to your pews. And Allison's going to help us here. I'm going to give her the microphone. We want to welcome our visitors today. And we want to add, there is a visitor's card right there in the pews. There's a visitor's card. And if you don't, if you want, if you're looking for one and you can't find one, you need it, just say something to the ushers. They'll be sure to get you one. But we want you to take a moment, fill that out, and especially if you would please put your telephone number on there. Then when the offering takes place following the communion service, just drop it in the offering plate and the ushers will get that card to me. They do a great job getting those to me. So we'll get you a call out and see if you've got any questions, get you better acquainted. It's the joys and concerns. If you have a joy, for instance, a birthday, maybe a wedding anniversary, maybe a testimony, huh, Dave? A testimony of how the Lord is giving you strength. You want to witness, just raise your hand. It might be a concern, maybe somebody you love is sick. You want to lift them up in prayer. Raise your hand. Joys or concerns, keep your hands up, if you will, please. Keep your hands up so Allison can see you, and she's going to bring you the mic.
We have Madeline Emmerich on the prayer list, but if you could put her husband Greg on there also. He has major back problems, and I was told yesterday by his daughter that it's going to take three surgeons in the operating room at the same time to fix everything.
Three surgeons? Wow. Thanks for lifting them up, Nikki. Yes, indeed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Dave.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank this church and everybody for the beautiful cards while I was in the hospital. And the counts are starting to come up slow, but I'm kind of getting a little bit of my breath back. So I just thank this church for all the prayers and everything. And I don't know, just thank God for all that he's doing for me.
Amen, Brother Dave. Wonderful to have Dave back. Let's raise a cheer, have him back in church. God bless you, Dave. He's one of the visitors here. He's part of the visitation team. And he has really ministered to a lot of folks. So thank you, Dave. Any other joys or concerns? Joys or concerns? Just keep your hand up so that Allison can see you. Joys or concerns? Annie, continue to remember Annie in prayer, and also certainly we got Shiv and Janet back here. Renew those prayers for Glenn. They're targeting that liver with a different type of chemotherapy, and it is a very, very rigorous treatment to say the least. He is just worn out right now, isn't he, Shiv? So please keep him in your prayers. Can we show an appreciation for Allison serving the Lord this morning? Thank you, Allison. Always a great job. Always a great job. And I understand you are now riding a bicycle. Isn't that right, Dad? She learned to ride a bicycle. I was teasing her. I said, I can remember the first bicycle I learned to ride was a girl's bike. It was my sister's. No bar in the middle. I had my hands up like that. And I was pedaling down the sidewalk. Of course, as tall as I am, that could apply to last week too. I'm not really the tallest guy in the room, but God bless you, Allison, and thank you for serving. Let's turn to the Lord now in silent prayer and meditation. Lord God, speak to our hearts this morning. Rain down upon our souls with your fiery spirit of wisdom and understanding. Send your word to us, we pray, that we might hear and know that you are God. Holy, holy, holy Lord. Speak to our hearts this day and deepen, increase our faith as we lift up from our hearts the prayer that Jesus has invited us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite us to stand at this time for this hymn of preparation, 526, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Please be seated. I want to remind you that there is a sign-up sheet for specials. I know we were also blessed last week with Dick for the Mother's Day reading. Was really, really powerful. He and Linda just always do a wonderful job. I shared that with, again, my good colleague, like a father figure to me, Don, is Reverend Paul Miller. It was a privilege to work with Paul. And I mentioned to him about Dick and Linda and the work that they do, because Dick, in fact, from this lectern on Wednesday, did do a reading that Rosanna Etkin had requested. I told Dave Bowen, I told Mr. Bowen that we've left the white pyramids on the altar in memory of our beloved Rosanna, who now is in heaven with Harold and with our Lord and our Savior. I want to lift up now a witness about our Lord and Savior. This week it comes from Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. And when they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people. It is he who built our synagogue for us." And so Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you to come under my roof, and therefore I did not presume to come to you. But only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's Holy Word. There's a little four-year-old boy who was asked to return thanks at the table. The family had gathered. And so the little boy bows his head, Esten, and they're all in the circle around the table. And the little fellow starts, and he thanks God for his mom, and he thanks God for his dad, and for his brother, for his sister, for grandma and grandpa who were there. And then he begins to thank God for the chicken and for the mashed potatoes and the gravy, for the dressing, for the carrots, for the bread. And then he pauses. And they're all waiting. And they're all waiting. And finally, the little four-year-old looks up at his mama. He says, "Mama, if I thank God for the broccoli, won't he know I'm lying?" Paul Miller and I talked about prayer. I said, in seminary, I gave it the definition exorcism. Prayer at its best is exorcism. Prayer is when we take all that's inside of us and we just put it out there in front of God, who sees it all anyway, right? Can you hide it from God? No, God sees all things. And Jesus in his earthly ministry saw many things. But only on two occasions in all of the Holy Scripture of the New Testament, only on two occasions is Jesus amazed. Now the first time, he was beginning his ministry in Nazareth. And he was amazed. Now, this is going to be audience participation. I want you to turn to your neighbor. But seriously, turn to your neighbor for a moment. When Jesus began, this is almost like one of those game show things, Don, that you and I love. When Jesus began his earthly ministry in Nazareth, he was amazed at something. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment. See if you've got it. And then raise your hands when you're ready. Turn to your neighbor. He was amazed. And what was he amazed at? Only happened twice. Raise your hand when you think you got the answer. They say, "Well, Greg, you cheated. You looked at the commentary ahead of time. You got me on that one. I won't deny that." Only two times. You go. Well, should we turn the cards over, as they used to say? Well, I don't know what show that was, Don. But he was amazed that he could perform few miracles in his hometown. And they all knew him. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Only twice is it written that Jesus in his earthly ministry was amazed. The first time he was amazed at lack of faith. And the only other time that he was amazed this time. Conversely, he is amazed at faith. The faith of a Gentile, no less. A centurion. It is written, after Jesus had finished these sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And there was a centurion who had a slave whom he valued highly and who was sick and close to death. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish, now bear in mind, this is a Gentile. He sent some Jewish elders to go to Jesus, to ask Jesus if he would come and heal his slave. And sure enough, when the Jewish elders came to Jesus, it is written that they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy, Lord, he's worthy of having you perform this miracle." Because he, a centurion, a Gentile, but a centurion no less, over a garrison of Roman soldiers, he loves our people. He loves our nation. Why, Lord, it is he who built our synagogue for us. And so Jesus begins to go with them, and it is written that when he was not far from the house, here we go. The centurion now sends his friends to speak to Jesus and to deliver a message. And here's the message. "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you to come under my roof. And therefore I did not presume to come to you, Lord. But only speak the word, Lord, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and the slave does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was, here's the only second time, he was amazed at him. Amazed. The Lord's amazed. And turning to those who were following him, he said to them, "I tell you, not in even Israel have I found such faith." And what happened, Dave? It is written that when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave to be in good health. Powerful. Powerful. Now the commentaries, I cheat every week. I study every week. I promise you. That was the old saying about the guy, the minister, Brother John, who was decided he was just going to let the Lord fill him on a Sunday morning. He didn't do a thing that week. He didn't do any work that week. He didn't prepare. So he came in on a Sunday, and sure enough, the Spirit of the Lord did talk to him as he's walking down the aisle of the pulpit, and the Spirit of the Lord said to him, "John, you're lazy." I did study this, and I found some amazing things. First of all, heads up. Number one, there is power always in a caring community. When people care about each other, there is a power for healing already present, isn't there? This is an amazing thing that this is a Gentile, and he is a Roman centurion, and he has a slave, and it's written in the witness that he valued him highly. Now, according to and we got Professor Wurtenberg here. Here's a real historian right here. You want to talk history with Bob. But according to the history books, in the Roman law, slaves were property. And you know, you've got a lot of versions. How many of you have the version that says servant? Why, even the New Revised Standard Version softened it at one point. They did say servant. Come, only speak the word and let my servant be healed. That's softening a Greek word, doulos. Doulos, which is slave. Slave, not servant. There's no softening the situation here. We're talking a slave. And according to the Roman law, a slave is property of this Roman centurion. And Don, you're a lawyer. Don, believe it or not, he could do anything he wanted to do to that slave without any legal repercussion. He could go to the point of killing his slave. Never in those days, never would he have received any legal repercussion for that. They were just property. Do you know what sometimes the Romans would do? They would take their old slaves who could no longer serve, who could no longer produce, and they would, it was written in the history books, they would turn them out of their houses. Now, don't you think for a second that means they're giving them freedom. That's about as much freedom as the old Eskimo analogy of being on the ice and they chip the ice away and they let them float out to sea to die. That's exactly what that was. That's exactly what that was. They would turn them out of their house, like sadly many of the homeless, even in our nation's capital. When Laura and I went to D.C. to do that wedding, we were appalled that even in our beloved nation's capital, there are homeless. John, I know your heart for the Fort Wayne Recovery Mission, but in our great land, there are homeless that are out there on the streets. They would turn those slaves out. They could no longer care for themselves, and they would die a painful, prolonged death. So this was all legal. And yet it is written, the centurion valued his slave highly. That is an amazing thing right there. He loved him. He loved him. And then we have power. We have power when we see character being demonstrated. Now, not only did he love his slave, but this centurion had a relationship with the Jewish elders of his community, and he, the leader in command of a Roman garrison of soldiers. That's an amazing thing, because, man, you talk about water and oil not mixing. Jim, I mean, you were in the military, but in that situation, the military was, they were not welcome guests, okay, to say the least. That'd be to minimize it. This is a Roman military presence in a Jewish community. And yet somehow that centurion had a way not only to keep the respect of his soldiers warm, which he did, clearly, but also he kept the respect and the admiration and the love of the Jewish people where he was serving. This is an amazing human being. You know, the third thing is that it is written that Jesus was amazed. He says, in all of Israel, never have I found such faith. And that's the third point. Lord, only speak the word, and let my servant, let my slave be healed. Jesus says, in all of Israel, I have never found such faith as this. And when those who were sent returned to the house, they found, sure enough, that slave to be in good health. I think if the centurion was with us today to give the witness, the number one thing that he would want to tell us is have faith in Jesus above all things. Above all things, have faith in the Lord, because the Lord is able, right? The Lord is able. You know, I had the pictures a few weeks ago, Dick, of that aircraft. And of course, Bishop Natombo and his son, Gaston, were our guests. And the plane. I still can't get over this plane. I'm no pilot, you know, but I've been aboard a few planes. How many of you have ever been aboard a crop duster? My first flight. Anybody here? Crop duster? Oh, you haven't lived if you had a pilot that pilots a crop duster. Take you out of a spin. I had that happen to me. Oh, man, that was awesome. Marianne, that was when I was at the New Hampshire Charge. And that was just awesome. But I've never seen a plane quite like this thing. This is incredible. And of course, it's going to save lives. And that was the most exciting message about it. It wasn't the machinery. It wasn't the engineering. It was what this ministry was going to be like. And Bishop Gregory Palmer said, of course, that was last year's miracle offering. That's what it went for, was to pay off the plane. And Bishop Gregory Palmer said, you know, wherever there is a church that believes in miracles, miracles will happen. And Rifa, he said, now I'm not going to pretend to explain to you a miracle. I said, I can't go there. I can't begin to explain it. I can't fathom it myself. But my witness to you is, whenever a church believes in miracles, miracles will occur. Because God is able to do that which the Lord purposes. That which the Lord proposes to do, the Holy Spirit will get behind that with power, and it will come into being. The Lord's just looking for vessels who will trust. And the centurion, a Gentile, was that vessel. The earthen vessel that allowed the Spirit of God to come into him with power and with trust. And his slave was healed. Before we come and receive the communion, don't you want to know? Don't you want to know this relationship? Don't you want to know this Lord that the centurion heard about? Jesus. Why would we ever turn away from such love? Clarence Forsberg, years ago, and I've done this story before, John. I know I'm getting old, but I told this a couple times since I've been here, 19 years. But Clarence Forsberg, years ago, told the story of a mother with five children who became so desperate because of health and financial problems that she decided life was no longer worth the struggle. So she took her youngest child, a preschool girl, into the bedroom of their tiny home. Carefully, she cinched the windows with old rags and newspapers. She turned on the gas heater without lighting it. And then she lay down on the bed, her arm around her small daughter. Now, as they lay there, she could hear the sound of that gas escaping. But then she could hear another sound. Suddenly, it occurred to her she had forgotten to turn off the radio in the next room, and for some reason, at a time even like that, it seemed important to her. So lo and behold, she got up to go to the next room, turn off the old radio. And as she approached it, she heard the voice of one singing over the airwaves, Bob, over the airwaves. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The centurion believed Jesus is the one who is able. You know that. You know that. So when you come before the altar this morning to receive the body, the blood of the Savior, been sacrificed for you, when you come to receive the witness of the greatest love that the world, creation, has ever known, you bring everything to the Lord with you. Won't you bring everything to God in prayer? Because Jesus is able. And at the very Last Supper, when he received the bread, when he had given thanks and broken, he gave it to the disciples saying, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And again, after he'd given thanks, the cup of passion, he gave it to the disciples saying, drink all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant shed for you, for many, for forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The greatest love that the world has ever known. Don't you want to know it? Don't you want to experience it? Don't you want to receive that love into your heart? Now's the time. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a United Methodist. We embrace the open table fellowship. The Lord God created all the children of planet Earth. All. We just heard a witness of the Islamic children who are being saved by the ministry of Jesus Christ in the Methodist Church. God made every baby, every child upon the face of this planet. Don't you want to know this love, and don't you want to share that love with others? Come forward at this time. The ushers will assist you. The form of communion is intention of your visitor. There will be a basket here that has the bread representing the body of Christ. Take a piece of that bread, dip it into the cup representing the blood of the Savior Jesus Christ, and then take and eat and give God thanks for this wonderful, wonderful love. This time I'm going to have Dave come forward, and also Dave Hummel with Laura Lane will form the other station. Clarence Forsberg went on to share that mother, of course, rushed back into that room. She turned off the gas, threw the windows open wide. She held her daughter tightly. And later when she spoke of this with him, she said she prayed a prayer, and she didn't pray for help. She prayed a prayer of gratitude to God for all his blessings, thanking him for life, for five wonderful children, and thanking him and asking him for the opportunity to share Jesus with others. We've got an opportunity to serve the Lord right now through the morning offering. At this time, the ushers will assist us. Let us pray together. Bless these offerings we return to you, O God, Rain upon them with the holy fire of your miraculous grace and love, that as these gifts go forth into the world, people may sense your presence and know your power and love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And now, as we shared at the beginning of the service, as that slave was healed through the power of Christ, there are men, women, and children who will be healed, whose lives will be saved by the miracle of these nets. In faith, you have an opportunity to contribute a love offering to provide for this life-saving ministry of Jesus Christ during the closing hymn. And that closing hymn's a good one. Trust and Obey, 467. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen.